You know, the Lord's Supper is itself a sermon. I'm inclined more and more as time goes on to make my words fewer. I got a few to say today. Maybe in the future I'll say even less. But supper means something to the people of God. The Lord placed it in His church for a reason, for a purpose. And the church is elect within the elect, I believe, is His bride. Maintain a special relationship to Him. And so He placed this supper in His church, and we read of the institution of that supper in Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body." And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not henceforth drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. We consider these simple verses a narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper. I don't intend today to concern myself with all the controversies that surround the Lord's table, and they seem to be abundant. But we observe as a church, as we believe the Lord placed it here and as He's been pleased to allow us to understand it. But there's much within these simple verses that we might consider. Again, back in verse 26, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body.'" As they were eating, there were many Christians. There were many born-again folks. There were many even baptized folks, disciples of John the Baptist. And yet the Lord here gathers with that church that He had formed during His earthly ministry. It is the Lord and His disciples. They and they only are at that meal. Others were not a part of this little assembly, this little church, this little called out group. We read elsewhere in scriptures during the Lord's earthly ministry of when He sent out 70 at one time on a mission and ministry. The Lord's mother was not here. Friends of the Lord were not here. This meal He set in the midst of His church, and it was to be observed by them in a church capacity. They were in the midst of eating the Passover meal, and because of His institution of the supper and in the context of the meal and in the context of His coming atonement, we normally observe the Lord's Supper on the Sunday after the Passover. Sunday, the day the Lord rose from the grave. And we were coming here in the words that are set in Matthew, the narrative here, they're coming to the conclusion of the Passover meal. Normally at this point they would eat or drink nothing more till the next day. At this point, however, the Lord commences something entirely new, something out of keeping with the normal conclusion of this meal. "And as they were eating, He took bread." Jesus took bread. He held it up that his disciples might observe it. It was, of course, the normal unleavened wheat bread of the Passover. And he blessed it. That is, as was the custom of blessing over the bread. He gives thanks to God for it. The normal blessing goes, "Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, the King of the world, that produceth bread out of the earth." He took the bread and blessed it and broke it. Christ broke the bread as a symbol of his body that would be broken. Not the bones, we're told, but the body was broken by blows, by scourges, by thorns, by nails, by a spear. And he was to separate from that body, his soul. He was to die as a sacrifice for the sins of his people. Not a single bone would be broken, but his body was rent. It was broken asunder for his sheep. Psalm 34:20. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. For these things were done that the scriptures might be fulfilled, that a bone of him shall not be broken. And this breaking of the bread is properly, I think, observed in the supper as well. So we begin with a whole wheaten loaf, as the disciples did that night, and we break it. And having done that, he gives it to his disciples. They're baptized. They're believers. They're church members. And those are the proper candidates, the proper recipients of the Lord's table. It's not some universal meal. It's not the church's supper. It's the Lord's supper. He gives it to the disciples. Doesn't say he placed it in their mouth, you know, for fear that they might drop his body on the ground. He was standing there. They knew he was speaking in figurative language. You know, when it's obvious figurative, we should take it that way. Catholics place that within the mouth of of their members there. Unless they drop it on the ground. They took it in their hands and they ate it. And expressive, symbolic of taking and receiving Christ by the hand of faith. Of being fed in a spiritual manner. Luke adds, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you." It was given for his disciples. In this passage here, it says specifically that it was given for the many. For the many. For the sheep. Christ died for his people. And they alone. He didn't die for all men. But those that were given of him by the Father in eternity past. Throughout the Passover meal, the bread was symbolic as well. Sometime the unleavened bread of the afflictions upon Israel. And scriptures speak of their Passover meal as, "This is the bread of the affliction of our fathers, who our fathers ate in the land of Egypt." The Passover that the Jews observed, they realized the bread they held in their hand was not the same bread. That was symbolic of that. It represented that, and thus the Lord's body is represented in the broken bread. The Lord's disciples were familiar with these symbolic representations. He was certainly physically present with them there. They could not mistake that that bread was literally his body, or that the cup was literally his blood. Verse 27, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, drink ye all of it. And he took the cup and gave thanks. Again, he prayed as was common over the food. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, the King of the world, who has created the fruit of the vine. And that's all it's ever called in Scripture. Nowhere in the context of the Lord's Supper is it called wine. And even were it called wine, wine in the Scriptures can be either alcoholic or non-alcoholic. It can be either fermented or unfermented. But nowhere are we ever told that it was fermented wine. Nowhere are we ever find that it's called wine. It is called the fruit of the vine. It's the pure fruit of the vine. That which, when you crush a grape, what comes out? The blood of a grape. It doesn't have to go through a process to become the blood of a grape. And thus it is with our Lord. And I think that pure, unadulterated fruit of the vine is the proper representation for the Lord's blood. And he gave it to them and said, drink ye all of it. It's interesting, perhaps even in some anticipation of the sacramentalists, he said, drink you all of it. Everyone did. Up until recent years, and some still within the Catholic Church, they have what they call communion in one kind, and they didn't even give the cup to what they call the laity. I mean, it was bad enough. They might drop the piece of bread on the floor, but they give a cup to the laity, and they might spill the blood of Christ on the floor. Of course, this sacramentalism, this hocus corpus, this hocus pocus of Rome, is not to downgrade the meaning of these elements. It's a serious time. It's an important time. It reminds us of our Lord's atonement. It reminds us that he gave his life for the sheep. And again, it says, which is shed for many. For the remission of sins. And say it was shed for everyone so they'd get a chance. The angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The Lord accomplished exactly what he intended in his atonement. His blood was shed for the remission of sins, for the putting away of sins of his people. That particular design of the atonement, John 10, verse 11, the Lord said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John 10, 15, the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Symbolic again of his intent and purpose and the accomplishment of it. Then he goes on to say, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Again, he's speaking to that assembly. I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it new with you in the kingdom. The Lord was showing that the time was short. His atonement would be soon. He would not partake of the fruit of the vine again until after his atonement, until after that sacrifice had been made. Maybe they didn't understand all the implications of it, but that's what he was saying. And he said, he will drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Lord will gather all his elect to himself. And they will be presented unto God. He will deliver them up to the kingdom of the Father. Luke 22:29. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And then we're told in verse 30, and when they'd sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. That would have probably been the Hallel from the Psalms. It's a part of the Passover meal. It concludes with Psalm 145:10. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. And the Lord deferred this to the end of the institution of the Lord's Supper. And after that, they went out to the Mount of Olives, where began the Lord's prayers of Gethsemane in anticipation of his passion. And have a sermon I sometimes preach in the context of the Lord's Supper about the cup unpassed. The Lord was sinless. He was to become sin. If it were possible that this could pass. But the Father said, no, the Lord knew that. The Lord said, thy will be done. We can't imagine for the sinless Lamb of God to take on sin, to take on the sins of all his elect. And soon the meaning of this memorial meal would be made abundantly clear to his disciples. And we'll conclude with a hymn before we begin the Lord's Supper, number 274. His pierced hands, and if you like, you can stand, number 274. Seated. Paul writes to the church of Corinth. He wasn't at that supper. But the church in Corinth would observe that meal as ordained of the Lord. And he passes on to them the circumstances of that meal. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Father, we thank you for this memorial meal that you placed within your church. Lord, for what it means to your people. For all that it symbolizes. Lord, as Paul said, for all that it shows. We show forth that one completed atonement. Father, we do not and cannot repeat it, because that's not necessary. Our Lord said, it is finished. His body was broken for his people, and the atonement was made. Father, we thank you for that precious body. God became man and gave himself for his people. And we pray in his name. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Father, we thank you for that precious stream that flows from Calvary's mountain. But for the shedding of that precious blood, we would yet be in our sins. And Lord, no other blood would do. The blood of bulls and goats can in no wise take away sin. Father, we can't comprehend such love. That God would become man, that he would suffer and die, all for the behalf and in the place of his people. Father, we thank you for our Lord's shed blood, and we pray in his name. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." The Gospels tell us, as we looked at previously in Matthew 26:30, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." We'll take our hymnals and turn to page number 147. "Near the Cross," and we'll sing the third verse, number 147, and you can stand if you like. Thank you this day for our Savior's atonement for his people. Thank you, Lord, that it's complete and finished. Thank you, Lord, for the work of the Spirit that gave us life repentance and faith, that we might embrace that gospel. We might embrace what our Savior did for us. And we pray in His name. Amen.
Amen.